Chapter number 10, entitled The Opulence of the Absolute. Text number 14. Sarvam etadritam manye. Yanmam varasi keshava. Nahi te bhagavan vyaktim. Vidur devana dhanavaha. Sarvam etadritam manye. Yanmam varasi keshava. Nahi te bhagavan vyaktim. Vidur deva hidanavaha. Sarvam etadritam manye. Yanmam varasi keshava. Nahi te bhagavan vyaktim. Vidur deva nadanavaha. Sarvam etadritam manye. Yanmam varasi keshava. Nahi te bhagavan vyaktim. Vidur deva nadanavaha. Sarvam etadritam manye. Yanmam varasi keshava. Nahi te bhagavan vyaktim. Vidur deva nadanavaha. Sarvam etadritam manye. Yanmam varasi keshava. Nahi te bhagavan vyaktim. Vidur deva nadanavaha. Sarvam etadritam manye. Yanmam varasi keshava. Nahi te bhagavan vyaktim. Vidur deva nadanavaha. Sarvam. All. Etat. This. Ritam. Truth. Manye. I accept. Yad. Which. Mam. Unto me. Vadasi. You tell. Keshava. O Krishna. Na. Never. He. Certainly. Te. Your. Bhagavan. O Personality of Godhead. Vyaktim. Revelation. Viduhu. Can know. Devaha. The demigods. Na. Nor. Dahanavaha. The demons. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O Krishna, I totally accept as truth all that you have told me. Neither the demigods nor the demons, O Lord, can understand your personality. Please repeat. O Krishna, I totally accept as truth all that you have told me. Neither the demigods nor the demons, O Lord, can understand your personality. Purport. Arjuna herein confirms that persons of faithless and demonic nature cannot understand Krishna. He is not known even by the demigods. So what to speak of the so-called scholars of this modern world? By the grace of the Supreme Lord, Arjuna has understood that the supreme truth is Krishna, and that he is the perfect one. One should therefore follow the path of Arjuna. He received the authority of the Bhagavad Gita. As described in the fourth chapter, the Parampara system of disciplic succession, for the understanding of Bhagavad Gita was lost. And therefore Krishna re-established that disciplic succession with Arjuna, because he considered Arjuna his intimate friend and a great devotee. Therefore, as stated in our introduction to Gita Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita should be understood in the Parampara system. When the Parampara system was lost, Arjuna was selected to rejuvenate it. The acceptance by Arjuna of all that Krishna says should be emulated. Then we can understand the essence of Bhagavad Gita, and then only can we understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Maritam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapadam Tikam Vande Aham Sri Guruho Sri Yudhapadakamalam Sri Guru Navaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sahagrijatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhava Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pastyatya Deshatarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Sivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Sarvam etat ritam manye, yanmam varasi keshava Nahi te bhagavan vyaktim, vidur deva nandanavaha O Krishna, I totally accept as truth all that you have told me. Neither the demigods nor the demons, O Lord, can understand your personality. So Krishna had already mentioned this fact that neither the demigods nor the demons could understand him in text 2 of this chapter. He explained, neither the hosts of demigods nor the great sages know my origin or opulences, for in every respect I am the source of the demigods and sages. So as it's explained in various classes, that this we may not logically think of it, but it is actually a self-evident fact that we cannot know our source unless it is revealed to us, because it is beyond our conception. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada has explained Arjuna's realization. Of course, this started in yesterday's class with 12 to 13, where Arjuna actually explains his realization. Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavam Purusham Sasvatam Divyam Adi Devam Ajam Vibhum. Arjuna said, you're the pure, Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate abode, the purest, the absolute truth. Your eternal, transcendental, original person, unborn, the greatest. So this Srila Prabhupada is saying, he said, similarly in yesterday's purport and again in this, that we should be understanding the Bhagavad Gita as Arjuna understood it, and accepting it as Arjuna accepted it. So Srila Prabhupada writes, by the grace of the Supreme Lord, Arjuna has understood that the supreme truth is Krishna, and that he is the perfect one. So understanding that Krishna is the perfect one is important for us to establish our proper relationship with him. We might know theoretically that our relationship with Krishna is one of eternal part and parcel of Krishna. But if we jump straight into meditating on Krishna's form and Krishna's pastimes, while we are still materially conditioned, although this is purifying if we read from the authorized sources such as the Bhagavatam, it will not give us the complete picture. Srila Prabhupada has given us a formula for understanding Krishna. He says, first study Bhagavad Gita, then Srimad Bhagavatam, and then Chaitanya Charitamrita. And similarly, within the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's advised by Srila Prabhupada, by our acharyas, that while the Srimad Bhagavatam is nectar wherever you taste it, to get the full and proper understanding, we should begin with the beginning in the first canto and progress through to the end. The acharyas see the first two cantos as being the lotus feet of Krishna. And similarly, when we take darshan of the deities, it's advised that we don't jump straight to look at his face, although it's very hard to resist with such beautiful deities as we have in the temple here. It's very hard not to look at their face. But it's advised in the proper etiquette, we should look from their feet, from the lotus feet up, so that we properly understand this truth that's given. So Srila Prabhupada writes, one should therefore follow the path of Arjuna. He received the authority of Bhagavad Gita. Now this is an interesting sentence. I'd like to just meditate on this sentence a little bit. He received the authority of Bhagavad Gita. So normally in the English language, when we're talking about this type of thing, we would say we accept an authority. So I was meditating on why Srila Prabhupada might have said, we receive the authority. I checked back in the 1972 edition and the wording is exactly the same. It has been repeated. So I meditated that accepting an authority is like some kind of option. We may accept or we may not accept. Whereas received the authority is a different kind of option. It tells us definitely that the authority is there. The authority is there, and it is up to us to become receptive to receive it. So although it's not a type of English that I would have spoken, when you meditate on it like this, you can understand that there is less option for doubt. There is less doubting that this is not authority. If we receive the authority is there, it is existing, and it is up to us whether we accept it or not. There is no doubt whether this is an authority or something else is an authority. So So Srila Prabhupada in yesterday's purport and in today's purport has been stressing on the Parampara system. And we may have time to look more into that later. But what I want to get first is there was a verse that was quoted by Jai Jagannath on Saturday. There was a purport to a verse he quoted from a lecture of Srimad Bhagavatam. He was quoting from 1 to 16 verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sushusho Shradanasya Vasudeva Katarujihi. Srila Prabhupada gave so many lectures on this chapter of the Bhagavatam. Two lectures on this verse. Let me just find the correct one. Oh, I know where I put it. It's in bookmarks. So, where's the verse?
You want it?
Oh, no. I've got the lecture here. I'm just going to the beginning. Shru 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 shatatanasya vasudeva kataru chihi syan mahat sevaya vipra punya tirta nishevanat. O twice-born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one attains an affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. So the stress of this verse is that it's not automatic. Our being able to know about Krishna is not an automatic thing. But by serving the devotees, we can get the devotees' mercy. So in this verse, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes today's verse in the Bhagavad Gita and explains how you have to know about Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada writes, Arjuna, after hearing Bhagavad Gita, said, Sarvam etad ritam manya yad vadasi keshava. My dear Krishna, whatever you are saying, I accept them in toto, word for word. That is required. Not that I give up this portion, I give up that portion, whatever is to my purpose. So in the same lecture, Srila Prabhupada also quotes from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 2. He quotes one verse. If I turn around this way, I can read it. Siddhanta Bhariya Chite Nakarit Alasa Iha Haiti Krishna Lage Sudada Manasa. Siddhanta, to become a pure devotee, a staunch devotee of Krishna, one has to learn about Krishna. So I was looking up this reference in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and there's some very beautiful verses about understanding Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And of course, it's also explaining Lord Chaitanya. So Chaitanya Charitamrita starts with the Mangala Charam, and then Krishnadas Kaviraj goes through to explain the different verses in the Mangala Charam in terms of the Siddhanta. And this verse about the proper position of Krishna is the third verse in chapter 1, the third verse of the Mangala Charam. And it begins the fifth verse of chapter 2 as well. What the Upanishads describe as the impersonal Brahman is but the effulgence of his body. And the Lord is known as the Supersoul, is but his localized plenary portion. Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself, full with six opulences. He is the absolute truth, and no other truth is greater than or equal to him. So, in explaining this verse, Krishnadas Kaviraj begins by explaining these terms. For a Sanskrit scholar, there are particular ways you arrange the verses. Now, I'm not an expert on Sanskrit, but I'm taking Krishnadas's explanation. Some people take this verse and try and turn it upside down. So, it's explained here in the following verse. Impersonal Brahman, the localized Paramatma, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are the three subjects of the previous verse. The glowing effulgence, the partial manifestation, and the original form are their respective predicates. So this is explaining that this verse is actually talking about these three things. Impersonal Brahman is the glowing effulgence of the Lord. The localized Paramatma is the partial manifestation of the Lord. And the personality of Godhead is the original form. So this is important to distinguish from the Mayavads, who try and tell us that Brahman is the supreme and the personal form is subservient. So we'll go through a few of these verses, which are very nice. So of course, there's a verse in Bhagavatam, which explains these three features, which is 1 to 11. Vedanti tatva vidas, tatvam yajnanam advayam, brahmete paramatmete, bhagavan iti subjate. This is quoted twice in this chapter. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth say that it is the non-dual knowledge and it is called impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and Supreme Personality of Godhead. The following two verses give a little explanation. What the Upanishads call the transcendental impersonal Brahman is the realm of the glowing effulgence of the same Supreme Person. As with the naked eye, one cannot know the sun except as a glowing substance. Merely by philosophical speculation, one cannot understand Lord Krishna's transcendental varieties. So this is a very important analogy. In this chapter, there's two analogies about the sun, which both help us to understand why people cannot automatically know Krishna. So it says, as with the naked eye, all we know about the sun is that it's a glowing substance. But the Shastras will tell us that inside the sun, there is a sun god. And there is a whole population that he rules over. He is the king of the sun, king of the sun planet. But we can't, with our naked eye, all we see is the glowing substance. So he's saying in the same way, by regular study, philosophical speculation, we cannot know Krishna's varieties. So, analogies of the sun continue. As one sun appears reflected in countless jewels, so Govinda manifests himself as Paramatma in the hearts of all living beings. So in the same way, also as given in the Shastra, as you can see the sun in many, if you put many different pots of water around, you can see the sun reflected in all of them. So this is using the analogy of the sun to explain Paramatma, the Supersoul, who exists in the hearts of all living entities, and even in the heart of the atom. So in the same way, this Supersoul is not separate, he's one, but he appears separate according to his reflection in the different living entities. A verse from Bhagavad Gita follows, which is 10:42. Atava bahunaitena kim gyatena tvarjana vistabhyaham idam krishnam ekam shena stitoji jagat. The personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, said, "What more shall I say to you? I live throughout this cosmic manifestation merely by a single plenary portion." So we're going to go on and look at the difference between Vishnu, Narayan, and Krishna. How Krishna is the source. One more in this. And another analogy of the sun given by Grandfather Bhishma. As the one sun appears differently situated to different seers, so do you, the unborn, appear differently represented as Paramatma in every living being. But when a seer knows himself to be one of your servitors, no longer does he remain in such duality. Thus I am now able to comprehend your eternal forms, knowing well the Paramatma to be only your plenary portion. So this was Bhishma on his deathbed when he was lying on the bed of arrows and he was discussing philosophy with Krishna. And explaining how the devotees can see Krishna. Through their service, devotees see that personality of Godhead, just as the denizens of heaven see the personality of the sun. So although we cannot see the sun god with our naked eyes, the demigods in the heavenly planet can see the sun god because they are differently situated. They are qualified to see the sun god because he's one of them. He's also a demigod. So this analogy is saying that by the same way, devotees, by devotional service, will gain the qualification to see Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Narayan and Sri Krishna are the same Personality of Godhead, but although they are identical, their bodily features are different. So at various times, we are tempted to accept Krishna as supreme and therefore all of his expansions are inferior. But actually they're not. They're identical in potency. The difference is in the qualities that they reveal according to their pastimes. But in terms of potency, all of Krishna's manifestations, all of his incarnations, all of his expansions are full in potency. This personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, has two hands and holds a flute, whereas the other, Narayan, has four hands with conch, wheel, mace, and lotus. So Lord Brahma, of course, we've heard this quoted several times in the Vimohan Leela, understood that Krishna was his Lord, but when he saw Krishna playing with his cowherd friends, the gopas, holding his food in his left hand with his yogurt rice and his bits of fruit between his finger, and joking with the cowherd boys, stealing food from their mouths and playing with them, not following proper etiquette, according to his view. He doubted, although he did know. I mean, he's the chief amongst the demigods. Whenever Krishna kills demons, all the demigods come and shower flowers. But just seeing that, Brahma was bewildered. And he said, let me test this Krishna. I'm doubting him. Let me test him. So, of course, we know the pastime well. He stole first the calves. And the cowherd boys, when Krishna realized the cowherd boys were going to get the calves, and Krishna said, no, no, I'll go and get them. So he went off to get the calves. And while he was gone, Lord Brahma stole the cowherd boys as well. Krishna pretended, or by yoga maya, was for a little while bewildered. But then he simply manifested all the cows, all the calves, and all the cowherd boys by his own potency. So Brahma left the scene for a moment of his time. But a moment of his time was a full year in earthly time. So when Brahma left the scene, came back a moment later, he found all the cowherd boys and all the calves still there. And he was bewildered. He said, I put them away in a cave and I locked it with a big stone. So then he went to the cave to check, and the cowherd boys and calves were still there. Then he came back to the scene where Krishna was, and the cowherd boys and calves were still there. And while he was bewildered like that, Krishna manifested all those cowherd boys and calves in his full four-armed Narayan feature, Vishnu feature. So then Lord Brahma was completely bewildered for some time, and then he came to his senses and he thought, oh, okay, so this really is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he offered prayers. The first prayer is just up here. Okay, so this is 10:14:14.
Narayanastvam nahi sarvadehinam atmasya visakila lokasakshi Narayan Narayanongam narabhuchalayanat tachapi sacham natadvaiva maya.
So Lord Brahma said, O Lord of Lords, you are the seer of all creation. You are indeed everyone's dearest life. Are you not therefore my father Narayan? Narayan refers to one whose abode is in the water born of Nara, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, and that Narayan is your plenary portion. All your plenary portions are transcendental. They are absolute and they are not creations of Maya. After Brahma had offended Krishna by stealing his playmates and calves, he begged for the Lord's pardon for his offensive act and prayed for the Lord's mercy. So this is in the Bengali, this is a Krishna Das Kaviraj's explanation. I took birth from the lotus that grew from your navel. Thus you are both my father and my mother, and I'm your son. Parents never take seriously the offenses of their children. I therefore beg your pardon and ask your benediction. Lord Krishna replies, Brahma, your father is Narayan. I am but a cowherd boy. How can you be my son? Because Krishna was in his pastime as being Krishna the Gopal. And he just looked at Narayan as if to say, what's this personality doing here? I don't know who he is. He just looked at him in complete bewilderment. Brahma replied, are you not Narayan? You are certainly Narayan. Please listen as I state the proofs. So we won't go through all the proofs because you have to be a little scholarly to understand it all. But he gives proofs also, and none of the proof of the name of Narayan is Narayan being the shelter of all living entities, because Nara means all humans and Ayana means shelter. Okay, we'll come back to this story again.
Krishna said, Brahma, I cannot understand what you are saying. Lord Narayan is he who sits in the hearts of all living beings and lies down in the waters of the Karana ocean. Brahma replied, what I have said is true. The same Lord Narayan who lives on the waters and the hearts of all living beings is but a plenary portion of you. So then Krishnadas Kaviraj explains this Narayan lying in the water. The three Vishnus in the water are the supersoul of everything. So he's explaining them all as supersoul. So Karunai Dakshai Vishnu. The supersoul of all the universes is known as the first Purusha. Garvai Dakshai Vishnu is the supersoul of the aggregate of the living entities. So he's in each universe and he becomes the supersoul of the universe. Kshiro Dakshai Vishnu is the supersoul of each living being. Superficially, we see that these Purushas have a relationship with Maya, means a material energy. But above them is the fourth dimension, Lord Krishna, who has no contact with material energy. So Krishnadas Kaviraj then explains how people get bewildered. These three features, by these analogies of the sun, we can explain. The Brahman is the glowing effulgence from the Supreme Lord, is similar to the rays of the sun, to the sunlight. The Paramatma is similar to the sun itself. We can see the sun, but not the detail, not the personality. We can see how the sun becomes reflected in many different things, like crystals and water. But inside the sun, there is a whole community, and then there is the sun god. So Krishnadas Kaviraj explains, not knowing that Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan are all features of Krishna, foolish scholars speculate in various ways. Because Narayan has four hands, whereas Krishna looks just like a man, they say that Narayan is the original God, whereas Krishna is but an incarnation. In this way, their arguments appear in various forms, but the poetry of Bhagavatam expertly refutes them all. So by mental speculation, they come up with their own ideas. Narayan looks more Aishwarya, more opulent, so therefore he must be supreme. This is a product of mental speculation. To understand Krishna properly, we have to study the Bhagavatam fully from the beginning to the end. Then we can understand. There was a simple example that's given in class that one English professor or scholar came to India looking for the Supreme Godhead. And he looked in various temples and he found the various deities doing things. Lord Shiva had the trident in his hand. Mother Durga also had the trident. All the demigods were very busy. And then when he came to the deity of Krishna, he found he was just playing a flute. And so he said, this must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he doesn't have to do anything. He can simply play the flute. So this is quite an apt explanation of Krishna. If Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, why would he have to do anything? Why? He doesn't have to do anything. He can enjoy. He's also the Supreme Enjoyer. So, as he explains in the Bhagavad Gita 10:42, just by a single fragment of my personality, this entire material universe is manifested, is maintained, is wound up, is controlled. Actually, Krishna doesn't have to do anything. Just simply by his glance, everything is put into motion. So this Bhagavatam verse is the one we quoted before. Vedanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti sabyate. learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth say it is the non-dual knowledge and is called impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and the personality of Godhead. Which is paraphrased again by Krishnadas Kaviraj. No, here's another verse we've missed in this one. And there's another verse which in the Bhagavatam, which is important in showing Krishna's supremacy. Ete cham sakala punsha, Krishnas tu Bhagavan swayam, Indra rivyakulam lokam, mridda yanti yuge yuge. So, in this chapter, which is the third chapter of the first canto, all of about 22 of the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are described. And this verse comes at the end of it. This is verse 28, at the end of the description of the different incarnations, one of some of the primary incarnations. All these incarnations of Godhead are either plenary portions or parts of plenary portions of the Purusha avatars. So that's the three Vishnus we described before. But Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. In every age he protects the world through his different features when the world is disturbed by the enemies of Indra. The Bhagavatam describes the symptoms and deeds of the incarnations in general and counts Sri Krishna amongst them. So therefore, Suta Goswami has explained in this verse that Krishna alone is the original source. All the incarnations of Godhead are plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions of the Purusha avatars, but the primeval Lord is Sri Krishna. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the fountainhead of all incarnations. So we also had that explained in a class a few days ago from Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, and Adir Adir Govinda, Sarva Karana Karanam. So Sarva Karana Karanam, meaning the source of all. And as explained in this class before, that Krishna, by this verse, can be clearly shown as being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he's even the source of his first expansion, Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram is exactly equal in potency, but he comes in a different mood, as a servant to Godhead. But Krishna is the source of Balaram. So although they're in other ways identical in potency, and even in a lot of their leela, Krishna is still the source. And of course, in this selection being Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a lot of verses about Lord Chaitanya, like Chaitanya also being exactly Lord Krishna. Which, for interest, we'll just read a few of them. This is in the Purport. Let me find. Just lost it. Yeah. In the purport to verse 22 of this second chapter of the Adi Leela. There's a lot of verses given, but some of them, which I'm going to read, actually mentions Chaitanya by the name of Satchisuta, which is interesting because there's no... Some of them just say Gora, but there's some here from Krishna Yamala Tantra, Punya Kshetra Navadvipa Bhavisyami Satchisutaha. I shall appear in the holy land of Navadvipa as the son of Satchidevi. From the Vayu Purana, Kalo Sankirtanarambe Bhavisyami Satchisutaha. In the age of Kali, when the Sankirtan movement is inaugurated, I shall descend as the son of Satchidevi. In the Brahma Yamala Tantra, Atavaham Daradhame Bhutvayat Bhaktarupadrik Mayayam Chavavavishyami Kalo Sankirtanagami. Sometimes I personally appear on the surface of the world in the garb of a devotee. Specifically, I appear as the son of Sachi in Kali Yuga to start the Sankirtan movement. So this is Krishna saying, I personally appear on the surface of the earth. So this is the truth that Arjuna is accepting from Krishna through the Parampara system. And this much of truth is required for us to come to the point of giving up all material attachments. Without some philosophical basis, we will hang on to some attachments somewhere along the line. Of course, Krishna is promising in text 10 and 11 that if we sincerely devoted to him, then he will give us the understanding. But this is also explained exactly what this takes in 10.10. I think I've got the note here. Yeah, note. Sorry, there's a note. So, that's wrong place. This note. So the Acharyas have described how this attachment, this asakti, this attachment for Krishna, is actually undeviating and fully enthusiastic desire to see Krishna and to serve Krishna. So, of course, there are fortunate exceptions who may not have to understand much philosophy to come to that point. But it's also described that though someone might get an honorary degree from a university, we should not just sit around and wait for someone to give us an honorary degree. It's not that automatic. We need to endeavor to study the philosophy. If we endeavor to study it, we might have difficulty. But if we sincerely serve the spiritual master, Sian Mahat Sevaya Vipra, if we sincerely serve the devotees, the sadhus and the spiritual master, then by their blessings, we will receive the knowledge. Actually, by our own intellect, we will not understand anything at all. At one time, I said to my spiritual master, I said, well, when I was studying in the mundane paradigms, the mundane sciences, I was studying social work. And we studied so many different theories. And every time they present a theory to us, They tell us where it works and where it doesn't work. In other words, they know it's not perfect right from the very beginning. We're studying a science, but they tell us immediately that it's got faults. And immediately you can also see the faults in it. So I said to my spiritual master, I said, when I read the Bhagavad Gita, I could instantly see the difference. This was a literature that I might not understand, but I couldn't find any fault with it. What was there, I couldn't see a fault with it. But he explained to me, just to get rid of my false ego, that wasn't my intellect at all. That was the Agyat Sukriti. By the Agyat Sukriti, or by the blessings of the devotees somewhere along the line, I was able to recognize, oh, Bhagavad Gita, this is a perfect scripture. By my intellect, I couldn't understand it. So this is important. It was an important realization for me, because we are studying and we are coming to class, but it's not the study that will bring our success. It's actually this following this process as given by the Parampara system, as given by the previous Acharyas. And if we sincerely follow it, then we will get their blessings. They will pass on the blessings to their gurus, and such like, it will be passed up the parampara to Krishna. So by the blessings of the parampara, we will be able to understand Krishna. And Krishna will reveal himself. Even this understanding is not automatic. By the blessings of the sadhus, by the blessings of Guru, Krishna will reveal himself. By the blessings of Radharani also. We can pray to Radharani. And she is, of her nature, one of the things that distinguishes the gopis who are in this highest rasa with Krishna is their absolute humility. It's called dainya in Sanskrit. So this is exhibited when Radharani sees a new devotee. She automatically thinks, oh, this devotee is so sincere, much more than me. Let me introduce this devotee to Krishna. So if we sincerely to pray to Radharani, then she will also help to introduce, because she thinks, she sees our sincerity, and she would like to introduce us to Krishna, because she wants to please Krishna. So right from the beginning stages of our sadhana, right to the top stages of our sadhana, we sincerely follow this Guru Parampara. As Srila Prabhupada is stressing in both these purports. So in the last paragraph of yesterday's purport, he says, here Arjuna expresses himself through the grace of Krishna. So even his expression comes only by the grace of Krishna. If we want to understand Bhagavad Gita, we should accept the statements in these two verses. This is called the parampara system, acceptance of disciplic succession. Unless one is in disciplic succession, he cannot understand Bhagavad Gita. It is not possible by so-called academic education. Unfortunately, those proud of their academic education, despite so much evidence in Vedic literatures, stick to their obstinate conviction that Krishna is an ordinary person. So this is why we have to take up this process in disciplic succession and study and get the blessings of this Guru Parampara to understand that Krishna is not an ordinary person, that he is the perfect one, as said in today's verse. So then, again, Prabhupada saying, the acceptance by Arjuna of all that Krishna says should be emulated. Then we can understand the essence of Bhagavad Gita. And then only can we understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then we'll be in the right position to properly re-establish our relationship with him. So, does anyone have any comments or questions in relation to our class today? Okay, thank you very much for your time. Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
We're not going to be able to do that.